the first Mechalel Shabbos, Vatavosoy, Im Hu Ma'amim Bihuli Korim, but he believes in the Yud Gimli Korim, Hu Yakavel Olam Haba, Hu Mitzvah Lo Yivosoy, you have a Mitzvah to love him, and he has a Chaylekin Olam Haba. Lumezoyt, Yehudi, Hamakayim is Kol HaMitzvah, he keeps all the Mitzvahs. Hu Makpid Al Kalek Kul Chumura, his mama, she's Makpid on every little detail of all the Mitzvahs. He's even a big ball chumra. He keeps chumras and all the dikduka alocha. He's even keeping tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. Even mepakpek beechad mitin korim, but he's mepakpek in echad miyud gimelay korim. As aylo chaylek klal olam haba, who nechshav lemin v'mitzvah lishtoras. He's not tal chaylek olam haba. He's considered a heretic, and he has a mitzvah to hate him. Clear. As we said above, this needs a lot of deep thought. What's the difference between someone who's kaifa in one of the mitzvahs of the Torah or one of the Yud Gimli Korim? Why is the Rambam such an enormous difference? Choshuv la'agdish shegam ha'rambam moide shekol mitzvah of the Torah he keeps. You have to first start off by understanding the Rambam holds that every mitzvah in the Torah is also an ikka. Rambam's not coming to belittle any of the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Ka'avrei gufadim, the same as the limbs of a person. In order to be shalom, you need all your limbs. Shekol eivahu, bebekinis ikka, u'mashamash es kol aguf. Every limb is considered an ikka and it serves the rest of the whole body. And it's shebekol zayis yishnan mitzvah she'mi koriz yoysa, vishmitzvah she'ni koriz pachot. According to the Rambam, the mitzvahs that are more important, the mitzvahs that are less important. You get more important organs and you get less important organs. If you lose your head or you lose your lungs, you're gone. If you lose your baby toe, you're not Shalom anymore, but you're not a goner.
So he's putting in a ticket for baby toe and a ticket?
No, I'm not being this out. Yeah, because according to the Chasam Sofer Kasha, everything in the Torah is an ikka. So in order to answer the Rambam, you have to say, your soul, everything's an ikka. So some things are more ikka than others, but still an ikka.
You can give a kidney away and you can still live a healthy, functional life.
Yeah? Are you going to tell me a kidney is not important? It's not an ikka? Of course it's an ikka. But it's not the same as a heart or a head. Less quality of life. More quality of life is not as comfortable, but you can still function.
Kach kam seiva Rambam in a gale mitzvah.
So should Rambam hold according to mitzvah. Oysam yud gimli karim haim abasis sha'alav nishanet hayadut. These are the basis upon which the whole of Yiddishkeit stands.
Kamama kosuv v'tzadik v'emnoscha yichye. The pasuk in Habakkuk says v'tzadik v'emnoscha yichye. He will live. V'akavona l'chay olam haba. It's talking about olam haba.
Yud Gimli Korim Eilu Heima Bechinas Eivorim Shanashama Tulim Behem. These Yud Gimli Korim are the orifices, the organs, the Torah principles that the Neshama is dependent on.
Asher Ba'adorim Ha'adam Chosachius.
If you're lacking this, you're lacking life.
L'varay Tishai Borim Norim Shleimim. Look, I'm okay. Heim Kudugmos Sherish V'Temach HaTemach Asher Ba'adorim Yikmol Ha'etz V'yomus.
The same as the roots of a tree. If you cut them out, the tree withers away and dies.
Kal yedei ha-shoyresh nechneses chius l'kol ha'et.
Where does the tree get all its life from? From the root.
L'chein mi shechosel lo v'yikra emuna.
Someone is lacking in the korim of emuna.
Nimtze shechosel v'yikra yadusa.
He's missing the fundamental principles of Judaism.
L'kui b'shoyresh shel ha'ilon.
He's lacking the roots of the tree.
He's not alive. He's barely surviving.
That's the Yud Gimli Korim. You have to understand why. We have to go in. You look at each one, you'll have kashas. That's what we're going to be dealing with in depth.
Last question on that. Is Imuna like either something absolutely you have or don't, or is it like you can have degrees of it? If you don't have it, you.
You have to have Imun in the Yud Gimel Ikarim. You have to believe the Yud Gimel Ikarim to be Emes Lamita.
I thought Imun was like one of the
First Yud Gimel Ikarim is Anima Amin B'Meshlem Shavoyiz Boch Shmoy Hu Boiru Manig L'Klo Abruim, that he created Yesh Mi'ayin and conducts all the things that are brewing. V'hu Levada Oysev Asa V'Yaseh L'Klo Ma'asim. He did, will do, and does everything that you see in the world. That's the first Yud Gimel Ikarim. Imuna in the total oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Oid Mil Vodah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the first Yud Gimel Ikarim. All of these Yud Gimel Ikarim are factors in Imuna. Imuna in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. Imuna in Mashiach gonna come. Imuna that Hashem doesn't have a goal. That's all. Those are all facets of Imuna. Yeah, there's levels that a person can have in terms of how much Imuna he has. There's Imuna that I have intellectually. Yeah, but I don't believe that the Torah was given a tzala. Gagal the Hargan against you, you said you bring it after it? Hey, not so quick. I mean, what exactly is the sheer of Imuna that I have to have in order to be part of Klal Yisrael? Tell you here, I don't know exactly what the sheer is. That's what you're asking. Raya Gdoyle le Divrei Rambam Yesh me Gemara, the famous Gemara in Makkos, right at the end of Gemara Makkos. Gemara says like this: Dorish of Simulai Sheshmot v'Shalosh Eser Mitzvahs Nehemru Lo Moshe. Moshe said over 613 mitzvahs. For David v'Amida Malacha Tzorek. David came along and established the Torah on 11 principles. For Micha v'Aidim of Shalosh. Micha came along and established the Torah on 3 principles. For Habakkuk v'Amida Malachas, Habakkuk came along and established the Torah on 1 principle. Shenema v'Tzadik v'Emunos Chayichi. Tell me this one. There's a clear thing in Gemara. What do you mean? Moshe Benning gave 613 bits of Tzavid. David came along and said, you know what? Dump 602 and just keep 11. Micha comes along and says, you know what, guys? Three's enough. It sounds like there are 4 movements, yeah? Like too hard not to drive to the Makolet on Shabbat, so we might have driving to Shul. And well, you can drive to Shul, you can also now drive to the Makolet on the way to Shul, and then eventually just stop at the Shul. Yeah? That's what the Gemara is doing. I mean, the reform drive. For reforming Ma'amid al Klu. There's a clear dig of Gemara. Masho explains that the Nevi'im gave principles, fundamental principles, to Klal Yisrael at different times in different circumstances. That by keeping those principles, a Jew will be zeichel lechay olam haba. David HaMelech didn't come along and say, don't keep the other mitzvahs, just keep 11 and the rest will be fine. He was saying, via these 11, you can now get into olam haba. In Moshe Rabbeinu's times, you wanted to get into olam haba, you needed 613. That was the key to olam haba. As the Torah got weaker and weaker and weaker, came along David HaMelech and said, you know what, to get into olam haba, 11. Came Micha and he told you which 11. Came Micha and said which year. It's a fascinating study to go through and see which one Bobby chose, which each generation needed. Came along Habakkuk and said at the end of days, where you're going to be barely keeping your head above water, yeah, where you're going to be having a hard time even recognizing that you even have a spiritual dimension, where you're going to be a piece of steak. Basically, this generation is dry bones. This generation is spiritually the bottom of a foot. The only thing that moves this generation is all tickle. You want to get this generation tickleless. Yeah, that's it. The generation doesn't respond to anything. You can bash them, beat them, whack them, fast asleep. So you want to get into Olam Habah in this generation, what do you need? Tzadik ben Masra Yichi. You want to live in Olam Habah, you need Imunah. That's the avoid of this generation. That doesn't mean the other 617 mitzvahs, you know, Joel mitzvahs get befuddled or whatever. You have to keep Shabbat, you don't, you get clapped. And if you don't keep the mitzvahs and whatever, then you were supposed to, whatever, etc., etc., you have to do tshuva. Not like it's taught out there today that if you didn't obey, it's not so bad, because after you did the obey, that's what Hashem wanted in the first place. It's nonsense. You want to chuva, so you're in a lot of trouble. Not that you've got to keep all the mitzvahs, you've got to do them, and you've got to learn Shulchan Aruch, and you've got to know everything. No, I'm not saying not. But the key to Olam Haba, the avoid of this generation, is Imunah.
wo Habakkuk ma'amida malacha shu echad ha'yoyze k'eilo. This is the all-encompassing principle that we need today. All the mitzvahs nichlolim b'mitzvah zu shehi imuna. All the mitzvahs today are nichlolim, are included in this mitzvah called imuna.
Some of the rabbis are there, some of them sit, some of the rabbis are coming to stand. I don't think it's some of both stood.
Anyway. And we need to add. There's a fundamental difference between the Yud Gimel Ikarim and all the other mitzvahs. The Yud Gimel mitzvahs, they're not a muchrach lishtayech aleim b'kol rega. The other mitzvahs, the person doesn't have to be involved and Isaac in them 25 a day. The Yishnan mitzvahs shazan grama, the mitzvahs that is my grama. I don't have to be worrying about an esrog right now, right? I don't have to be worrying about matzah.
Well, I suppose you should, because now's the time to plant the wheat.
Fine, but I'm just saying, I don't have to be worrying about baking matzahs now. Yeah, I've got to be worrying about planting the wheat. I don't have to worry about lost sigzel, because right now I don't really have such a time to steal anything right now. So I'm not really sick in those mitzvahs. Those are unique mitzvahs that come around at different times, different places, whatever, yeah? Kriya Shema b'boitzeh. I don't have to worry about that now. I was yoyti Kriya Shema this morning with Mano, and now that's gone. It's, you know, I don't have to be sick in that anymore.
But the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the person has to be bound to them every moment.
If he detaches himself from them or starts doubting in them, even for a few moments, as if he has detached himself from the source of his life. This is a massive sugya, by the way. What you just touched on here is a major league sugya. It touches on Talmud Torah. I'm not going to get into it now. It's just interesting to note here, and he brings it down in the footnote, that there are six mitzvahs, which are called the Shesh Mitzvahs Tzmidis. The Rambam's Cholek, by the way, the Rambam holds only Arba Mitzvahs Tzmidis. The Chinuch is the source, the original source of Shesh Mitzvahs Tzmidis, which the Mishnah Berurah brings down right at the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, and the Be'er Halacha there brings down that there are six mitzvahs that a person has to keep all the time. So why are the six mitzvahs tzmidis any different to the Yud Gimel Ikarim? You should have Yud Gimel mitzvahs tzmidis. So here's a discussion about that, whatever. Just very interesting why the Rambam's Cholek on the Chinuch. You knew this? No, only four mitzvahs tzmidis. Much easier to go like the Rambam. You have to remember four things. Because two of the mitzvahs tzmidis of the Chinuch are love, are lo tatzayis. The one is lo tzasura chareinu afrim v'naichem, and the other one is? No. They don't teach Shesh Mitzvah Tzmidis in Eishat Torah anymore?
Don't teach in the other God. Don't sell from Negev Mosul, the eyes and heart, don't have any other God.
And don't have any other God.
Oh. How do you do a law every moment?
Oh, so the Rambam says that a love is only Shaykh when you have a Yetzer Hara, not to Makayim that love. So right now I don't have a drive to Avodah Zorah. So then I'm not mekayming it by not doing a verzot. The same way I don't have a desire to steal this thing. So I'm not being over, I'm not mekayming the love of Lo Sigzol. I'm sitting here now. I don't want to steal it. So you can tell me, yeah, give me the mitzvah. I'm not stealing. No, Lo Sigzol, you mekayim when you want to steal and you say, Hashem said I can't and I don't. Yeah? So a love holds the Rambam can never be mitzvah tzmidi, because it's only when you have a desire to do the Aveira and you don't. So I'm walking around every minute of the day wanting to do the Aveira. Chinuch holds you off. Those two, okay, that's the machlok, I'm just pointing out. But the other four mitzvahs tzmidis, the person has to know all the time, has to be mamish makaving them all the time.
It's only for mitzvahs tzmidis.
Sorry?
It's only for mitzvahs tzmidis.
A law tzmidis, yeah. Well, mitzvahs keeping Shabbos on a mitzvah is not a mitzvah tzmidis. Obviously, there's no machlok, it's the Rambam and the Chinuch. The Chinuch holds there's only four mitzvahs tzmidis. And tzitzis is only it's a mitzvah mitzvah. If I'm not wearing an arba kanfus, I don't have to wear tzitzis.
Right.
So you can't call that a tzmidi.
But even if it's not, I'm not, or is it just, you still get the mitzvah for wearing it.
You get the mitzvah, but it's not called the mitzvah that you chayv tmini to makayim as mitzvah. Whereas the four mitzvahs tmini, the person is machayv to keep those mitzvahs tmini. Now obviously there doesn't need, and the Nefesh HaChaim points this out right in the beginning, you have to get clear on this one. Because if you think about it practically, it's impossible to continue functioning. Never mind the 13 mitzvahs he says that you've got to be holding in all the time. But let's just take the four mitzvahs tmidis. When you're busy learning Lo Yachpo, it's very hard to think about the oneness of God. How do you do that? The Nefesh HaChaim also discussed right in the beginning. How do you make makers with Hashem in your mind, where you're thinking that Hashem is one and there's no other Hashem, and to fear Hashem and love Hashem, whatever, while I'm busy trying to understand digging pits, or you're busy discussing whether dirty diapers are mukta on Shabbos, now you're thinking about God. So he says that's not trap. He says trap is you have to have a basic running in the background, you have to kind of like a default program running that believes in God and knows God. You machazik it, you say Shema, whatever, you makabal amal kushamayim. Now you get on with your life, you do what you have to do. As long as you don't do anything to mevatel that appreciation you had. And if you feel that appreciation weakening, then stop yourself machazik it for a few moments and go weiter. But obviously you can't be walking around with Yud Gimel Ikarim in your head the whole time. You're not walking around going, yeah, Hashem is an imam, Yishleim, Hashem, because then that's all that would be the whole life. Walking around just mumbling Yud Gimel Ikarim to yourself. You understand that that's not practical. There's other sugars you have to learn as well. Yeah? You have to learn, you have to learn Halachan, you have to learn Mishnah Berurah, you have to learn Lo Yachpo. So how am I going to do that if I'm Oisek and Yud Gimel Ikarim? So you have to learn them, you have to set aside time to learn them, like we're doing now, Mechazak them and whatever, and then you go weiter. But you can't be walking around with this 24 hours a day in your head like all these 13 things swirling in your head. You won't do anything else. We're not able to think 27 different thoughts at the same time. So every time I stop thinking about Hashem in order to learn Torah, or in order to ask the Shala about whether I took 2 days Yontif or not, what if it's what happens? Become an Apikoris? Obviously not. When you go to the bathroom, what happens? You become an Apikoris? Yeah? Obviously not. So, is that clear? Because guys have a panic attack when they hear this one. They start behaving funny. You go talk to them because he's in singing and you know, six mitzvahs finished. They're walking out the whole day saying, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. And then he forgot that God fears. He's like, oh, God fear, I've got to fear God, I've got to fear God, I've got to fear. Hold on 1 second, calm down. Take it easy.
So if your reason for asking if the dirty nappies are...
Very good. Yeah. Excellent question. If I have a Yiras Hashem and I have a Avas Hashem and I know Hashem gave a ton, Hashem, it's all Hashem, and I want to keep the mitzvah properly and I'm coming connected to that question, my other, that's already a very high level. You're describing quite a deep level. That's a very high level.
You're learning, but your Avas is so ingrained in you that...
Running in the background is the fact that I've used Hashem. Yeah.
The reason for asking this question because of your Hashem, the whole time you're asking the question.
Why am I learning Torah? I'm sitting down now and opening up my Gemara and I'm going to learn Lo Yachpo, right? It seems to have nothing to do with anything other than engineering, construction or whatever. Yeah? Construction engineering, yeah? It was the lowest form of human endeavor. That's much higher. I'm saying digging pits is not exactly the most glamorous, but that's what we're learning. We're learning digging pits, yeah? That's what we're learning about. Oxen boring oxen, whatever, yeah? So included in that is this is Dvar Hashem. This is Dvar Hashem. So my Ava and my Yira and Los Asura and all that comes in and connected to that. That's what Nefesh HaChaim says. Mechazik yourself in those inyanim for a few moments. Now start learning Torah against that background. But it's running in the background, it's not at the forefront. But at the forefront is trying to understand this piece of Gemara. Which, if you would stop and say to you, are you thinking about God? You go, huh? What do you mean? You've got to work this out in yourself, how you do this.
Ideally, it should be so ingrained in you that you're just like so.
Ideally, in
Achinami. You're studying God's Torah, even though you're like.
That's the Gemara about what's his name, that while he was sewing shoes, he was a shoemaker, while he was sewing shoes, he was making Yehudim of Hashem's names and whatever. That you use the operative word, ideally. Yeah, ideal, but we live real. So down there in the real world, which is where we're trying to function, we're not holding there. We can be, while we're learning Torah, thinking about all sorts of things that have got nothing to do with God, b'chlal. Because what's deeply ingrained in us is Olam HaSeh. And you know, you can be doing a lot of negative stuff as well. Anyone ever tried to double Shmoneh Esrei, you realize how far your head can take you out of that. So that's our struggle down here. We're trying to just keep any God conscious in our learning. If you had any schmeck of God conscious in your learning, you'd have a hard time closing your Gemara. How hard is it to close a Gemara? It's the easiest thing in the world to close your Gemara, yeah? Why? What you're giving, you're disconnecting yourself from the source of reality. How do we do that? Because our God consciousness in our learning is very, very faint. So it requires constant chizuk. That's what there's a Musa Seder, that's what there's, perspective. But the Nefesh HaChaim introduces a Chiddush, which is that even in the middle of learning, if you feel that your Yerusha Maim, whatever is waning a little bit, stop for a few moments and just think about God a little bit. Rav Victor Miller says, if you want to become great, he has a program called the 10 Steps to Greatness. One of them is to think about God 10 times a day, just for a nanosecond. You know, every time you get these watches that beep on the hour, right? Every time it beeps, just go, hey, Hashem loves me. And I'm saying that's already 10 steps to greatness. That's where we hold it. Okay, it's so deeply ingrained in you, that comes from years and years of hard work. Push the stopwatch now. Don't wait till tomorrow to start doing this. Do it now. Yeah. That's the avoider. So today without Musa, it's not shaykh. If you learn Gemara the whole day, you're never going to get this. Maybe a few yechidim, but the average man in the street today, with us, without learning Musa properly in a functional, proper way, you're never going to get this without Musa. It's not shaykh. Not shaykh bichlal. I don't care how much Gemara you learn. You don't set it's not time to learn Musa properly. Finished.
Also, if you don't know Gemara.
If you learn Gemara, you know what the Sefer Chinuch is about, somebody who doesn't learn Torah. Nechshav kebehema. So you're up.
He doesn't learn Torah, doesn't learn Gemara.
Talking about learning Torah, he brings down there the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but we know that the ikka mitzvah of Talmud Torah is Gemara. That doesn't mean when you're learning Chumash, you're learning mitzvah Torah or whatever. But a person who's not learning Gemara, or doesn't learn Gemara, he's not really learning Chumash either. To understand Chumash properly, you need to apply Gemara to Chumash. That's what Rashi does. That's what Rashi is. Rashi is, when you're learning Chumash Rashi, you're not learning Chumash, you're learning Gemara. I don't mean Gemara in terms of Talmud Bavli. When I say Gemara, I don't mean Dafka Talmud Bavli. I mean Gemara, Chumash Rashi, Gemara. When you're learning Shulchan Aruch, you're learning Gemara, no? That's not Gemara. The Rambam defines it as Gemara. They're taking the principles of Torah Shebal Peh, which is Mishnah, not necessarily Mishnayas, and applying what the Rambam calls basically the 13 principles, hermeneutical principles, applying that to the source you're learning. That's called Gemara. Rashi is Gemara. When you teach your kid Chumash Rashi, or you're learning Chumash Rashi, you're not being kind of the mitzvah of Torah Shebiksav, you know that. You're kind of the mitzvah of learning Gemara. It's very important to know that. Yeah? Why you
should think the girls learn Gemara.
That's the whole discussion. That's the whole discussion of why women are allowed to learn that. In Achinami, yeah, the 20 points came. Rashi about it, they all hold because it's Ikri Emuna. That without Chumash Rashi, you have no Emuna Bichlal. That's Ikri Emuna, and that's why girl has to learn it. But there's big machlokes in Atkinei Kachi in America, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberger, that the girls are also to learn Ramban. Yeah, also for a woman to learn Ramban. Once again, because if a woman wants to learn Gemara, she can learn Gemara. But you force her to learn it. Let me just get this clear, because this machine's running out. I've got to be very careful what I just said. It's dangerous. The Rambam says that it's awesome to teach your daughter Torah. Torah, meaning Torah Shabbat Peh. It's poshut from the context of the Rambam and the Mephoshim and the Rambam that it doesn't mean it's awesome to teach her Torah. It's awesome to force her to learn Torah the way you have to force her time. But if she comes voluntarily wanting to learn, then I don't even teach her. And it must be that way, because it says it's also for a woman to learn Kabbalah except from her father or husband. Now, there's no greater Torah Shabbat Peh than Kabbalah. So how can there be a locha that she can only learn from her father or husband if it's also for the father to teach her Torah Shabbat Peh? Then it's also to teach her in a way that you teach your son. Your son, you have to sit him down and you have to, mamash, you have to whip him. It's not a chinuch class. Today there are no boys. No, that's true. They say to treat boys. Well, there are no boys today. Today we're all girls. So you have to teach it the way you teach girls. You have to do it softly with sweets and nice. And there's not a chinuch class. Yeah, whip your kids into learning Torah. The first thing you have to do is stop learning Torah. If you want to destroy any kid's love for Torah, you tell him to learn. That's the quickest way to destroy your kid's desire to learn Torah. You say to him, Yankala, go learn. Boing, you just whipped him. That's it, finished. You just killed Yankala's time for Limud. That's another discussion. But when the Rambam says it's also to learn Torah with your daughter, he means in a way that you do with your son. Therefore, it's perfectly mutter if a girl comes and says, Daddy, why don't you teach me some Rambanza or whatever? And it's mutter. The Shalom is that mutter for the schools to force them to learn. My daughter goes to school, she's got to write tests on the Ramban. That's what Yaakov Weinberg called his also. Obviously those that hold it as mutter, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. The schools are run by the Daily Shah. But I'm just saying, what's wrong with it is what we say, because that's called Gemara. And a woman shouldn't learn Gemara. So Yaakov Weinberg held that the biggest threat facing Klal Yisrael was the inability for us to see the difference between men and women when it came to these roles. And you see in America today, it's a real big problem. The inability in the world for the whole Orthodox feminist movement is a major threat to Klal Yisrael today. because it leads to a breakdown of the whole of family life. When mothers see being a mother as a second class occupation, being a lawyer is that something to strive for, and being a Jewish mother is like is something to denigrate, and the whole of family life falls apart. If family life falls apart, Klal Yisrael is finished. That's the big threat facing Klal Yisrael today. So that's why he was very keen on making already at the early stage of learning these separations. But that's the Rambam. We have to learn the Hilchos. You learn the Rambam, the Hilchos on the Torah. You go through, you'll see it's quite obvious that's what he's saying there. The Rambam divides the Torah into three parts. Torah Shemitah, Torah Shemitah, and Gemara. Not two as people usually define. When it comes also like that, and the Shulchan Aruch brings down the halacha like that as well. Not the way the Rambam brings it down, but that there's these three sections. So the ikar of our life, he's talking about the way we apply the principles of Torah. Not just, reading a bit of Chumash. To be Omel the Torah, to toil in Torah, to Isaac in Torah, is tomorrow. Obviously, as I said, that applies to Halacha, that applies to Shkof, that applies to whatever you're doing, is applying the Gemara process to the subject you learn. People make a big mistake with it. Guys learning about Chumash Rashi, in some of the yeshivas today, it's a bizarre to take out a Chumash. You wouldn't be seen dead with a Chumash in the yeshivas. Friday afternoon, Shlaim Mikra V'Tazim, but to sit down and open up in the middle of Seder a Chumash and going to Chumash Baki is a busha. Your Gemara and my Gemara, it's also Gemara. Make a big mistake. You neglect Chumash Rashi, you're neglecting the fundamentals of the basis of what you're moving, especially these parshas. These parshas are the basis of our life. All right, to be continued. What are we learning?